Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched two things this week. We started off with the first two episodes of Lulu Wang's new limited series Expats on Amazon Prime, a major spoiler alert for those. We actually go pretty deep into it and get into a lot of theories. And then we watched the third episode of True Detective Night Country. Again, spoiler alert. Also, a bit of a content warning for both. They deal with some more mature themes, some darker stuff, but I'm guessing you've already seen all those things if you're listening to this episode, so you know what you're dealing with. And now, without further ado, here's We're Watching What? All right. We saw the first two episodes of Expats starring y'all's friend Nicole Kidman.
Our bestie?
Oh, your bestie, Nicole Kidman. Yeah. Kidman? Who am I? You, Jackie?
I know. It's true, apparently. What letters.
How are we feeling? It's only a 6-episode limited series, apparently. So we are a third of the way through. Did this meet expectations? Like, how are we feeling about Expats? Hmm.
Now that I know that it's a third of the way through, I'm feeling a little less, because the first episode I liked a lot, and then I thought the second episode was really slow. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm kind of like, oh, do they not have enough story to fill up all 6 episodes? Or maybe they just really wanted to drive. I mean, it had a lot of suspense because we were sitting there wondering, we knew something happens to the child, right?
Yeah.
And you know that she has something to do with it. So there's a lot of suspense there, I guess. But I thought it was a little slower in the second episode anyway.
See, it's funny because I came down on the opposite side, though. I was like, are we going to give away that the terrible thing that happened so early on? I thought we were going to drag it out longer.
I was like, I had a totally opposite experience because like the first episode I liked fine, but I was a little kind of like, And I don't know why necessarily, but for some reason I just decided that the kid had died, right?
No, so I just thought like, I mean, be more specific with that.
Well, I thought that I don't know if I missed a detail, but I thought they were mourning a kid's death. Like he died there and we didn't know how or why yet, but I thought I didn't know he was missing.
Originally, so, the kid had a, remember he drew a picture of the Gus with Jesus?
With Jesus.
And she freaks out about it. We don't know why we think she's freaked out just because of the religion aspect of it.
I think, I thought she thought it because he was dead. And I'm saying like to me, and they may assume he is. I just mean as a viewer, I thought he was.
Saying that like, yeah, agreed.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying is that they told us kind of in that drawing that he was dead.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't, and it turns out she was just freaking out because she's not dead, maybe.
Well, no, he could be dead. It's just a thing. My point is, as a viewer, just went into this, even just the limited trailer I saw, just went into this thinking the kid was dead. An accident that happened, and we had confirmation. We didn't necessarily know exactly how it happened yet, but I was like, okay, he's dead. And I was kind of like, okay. And I was a little bit kind of like the first episode with that premise, and also with Nicole Kidman, I was like, one of my favorites is Rabbit Hole. And I was like, this is the same thing as Rabbit Hole. Like, different country and kind of the expat thing. But Rabbit Hole is literally about mourning the loss of the kid and then this kind of like running into the guy who accidentally killed him. Right. It's like the same exact like idea. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then I loved the second episode. I thought the second episode was like, I was like totally into it. And I was so anxious at the scene with him going missing because I thought we were going to see him like brutally die or something, and I got like uneasy.
I was gonna die too, and so
to me the second episode was all tension and anxiety, and I was like, I got invested in the characters finally, and now I'm like into it, so I'm excited about it now.
Wait, so that's really interesting because there's no world in which I thought that kid was still alive. Like
he may not be, but I don't.
I assume in really episode 3.
I mean, we don't know, and I think everyone's sort of assuming.
Yeah,
whatever. But he could just be kidnapped. But at this point, like they would make. You know what I mean?
Or I guess like, he could be like in a coma somewhere or, like in a medically induced state. But I just assume dead.
Yeah, I think that they just don't. I don't think they have confirmation of what happened to him.
But missing, presumed dead is just so different than dead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's just, Hong Kong is not a big island. Like, I can't imagine a world in which they don't eventually figure out the fate.
I think we will figure it out. I'm not convinced that they know yet. And so to me, I was like, okay, this will be, or maybe they know and we're going to learn it. And because they're doing flashbacks and this and that. But
yeah,
I thought it was interesting that it could be turning into kind of like a assuming he's gone, but there could be an ongoing investigation trying to figure it out, or it could have gone cold now. It's kind of like they're just like, we're just presuming dead, but they don't accept it, or they do accept it, but they're having, I don't know what it is, but I found it more interesting knowing that there's a mystery around it versus how did he die? It's kind of like, oh, he went missing, and this is something where they're going to search for him, and at least in, whether it's present or flashbacks that we're seeing that, it's more intriguing to me than, you know what I mean? Then it's just like, oh, he's passed, and now we're watching them cope, I guess.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, it adds a layer of complication, but I
guess for some reason, I knew it was going to be a mystery of some sort. I don't know why, though. It doesn't really even, like, why would I assume that? But I kind of did. And I was like, yeah, there's definitely going to be some sort of mystery. And then, but I did assume he was dead.
So I, independent of whether or not this poor little child has died, I am fine with the, like, ramifications of seeing all these people have to deal with their lives recrossing, you know, however long later. Because, again, very small island. And the, you know, consequences of that.
Oh, no. And I to clarify, I find that kind of thing interesting. It's just like exactly what Rabbit Hole already did. Mm. And I think it's the Nicole of it all that's making it kind of like, oh, I just reliving Rabbit Hole, but longer. But that being said, you know, I still find it interesting and everything. I do have to say also, though, maybe it's because, as you mentioned, like, we love Nicole, and I love Nicole, and maybe I expect a certain something from her, and I do think she's delivering in this. But I do have to say, I do kind of feel like everyone else is giving me more than she is.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't
Soraya,
think she's...
Is it Soraya Blue? Is her
I think
friend?
So.
That's the actress.
I think it's Sarayu Blue.
Sarayu Blue, sorry, yeah. Yeah. She, I love, especially in the second episode, the whole conversation about, like, going back on birth control and stuff.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to tell her, you know, like, that kind of stuff. Like, she is so good. Mm-hmm. And then the actress, I looked her up, that Ji-Yung Yu, I looked her up, who is the one who lost the child.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like her.
She's given me things. I'm
yeah,
really, like,
absolutely.
Really and the actress, even, like, it's been very subtle so far, but the poor actress who, like, or the actress who plays the poor character who, like, is their housekeeper, who, like, knows that, like, they're trying to move on from her, it's heartbreaking.
Oh my God, that
it's,
part
it's rough
for me was just like a very, it brought up very complicated feelings about just, like, the inclusion of, you know, an additional party who's, like, basically family, but they also work for you and stuff. I was just like, may or may not have been there before. Like,
it's really creepy, but you also, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's something, like, you don't realize until you are an adult how privileged it is.
Well,
and on that note, I'm glad.
I guess I was thinking more of the, like, emotional complexities of it all, right? Like, how hard it is for everyone involved.
Right.
Because, like, I had a friend who was a nanny, and she was with a child, you know, from the time they were, like, 6 months old until they were nearly eight, and she got fired out of the blue.
Oh, God.
And didn't get to speak to them again.
Uh-huh.
And she was, like, deeply traumatized by the whole thing. Because
yikes.
She had been such a big part of the family.
Yeah.
And then she didn't even get to say goodbye to these kids she essentially raised.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And then I think she got closure some years later or something. But, like, it was a very kind of traumatic thing.
I mean, I don't know if I've told this story before, but we had someone who helped out. Not that level of helped out, but, like, I called her Po-Po, which is Chinese for grandma. I didn't – yeah, I knew she wasn't my grandma.
Right.
And I was, like, older. This is when my sister was born and my parents had gone back to work. And it was just like, you know, but she did cook for us. And I didn't learn a lick of Chinese, but I did teach her how to say bagel and cream cheese in English. But, you know, it's just one of those things, like, you don't think about. And then you realize, like, they were effectively, like, a part of your family, but also not. And it was just, you know – I think because they came into my life a little bit later, I was like, oh, this isn't – I understand that there is, like, a you know, transactional element to this, but you still care about them and you love them. And then later as an adult, you're like, wait a second. Like,
well, you love
the hell is this?
And it's like – but they're not really part of your life, so they don't actually get access necessarily to, you know, birthdays and celebrations and all of that good stuff. I mean, you hope, but –
Well, nor you know, should you have to expect them to care about that, you know?
It's no, just exactly.
Like,
it's a very complicated thing, right? Because then, you know, of course, Nicole's character is upset that she's not first pick,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so it's like there's that complicated emotion too, right? Where you know and you want your kids to feel love and be loved and all that good stuff, but you also want them to care a lot.
Well, and I guess I agree with all that, but then I was also looking at it from a point of like, no, more of the lens of even like we had hired a lady who was partially living in with my grandmother, like in her like later years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of thing where like with what this I don't even know what we're calling this. She's not a nanny, a caretaker, like whatever.
Essie. Her name is Essie.
Essie is her name. There you go. But like, yes. But with Essie, it's like, you know, she's living there and all these things. And it's like, so for her to feel the, like, I feel that this is going to be taken from me. It's like, well, what happens to her then? Like, she doesn't have a home. She has nothing. She just go find a job. Like, it's like your whole life becomes about this other family. Even beyond like, oh, I go and I help, but then I go home. It's like, no, you don't go home to a different life. Like, this is your home.
Yeah.
And now you're going to, you know, and that, it's just heartbreaking. It's just very sad.
Oh my God, when she threw away the food, I was just like, ah, yeah. Like, cause you know, she spent time on that and all that. Oh my God, it broke my heart.
Yeah. I was like, girl, have a nice dinner. Just keep making it and be like, fine, I'm going to eat this.
Just make your own. Yeah.
But you can't because that's just not like, you know, it's not that. Cause when the kid was like, no to the lasagna.
Yeah.
Also, what a badass like transformer car costume thing.
Oh. I was like, who wouldn't want one of those?
I know. I was like, that's amazing. I want that. Yeah, it's interesting. It is a little, the pacing is interesting. I would have been intrigued to watch it as a binge versus a parceled out one. I'm not necessarily upset that it's parceled out, but I think I may have been more enraptured by it if it had been a binge, honestly. Because I'm not currently desperate to be like, what happens next? Partially because I think we got the two episodes and like the core of it. I'm like, oh, well, nothing good can happen next. It's I think where I'm at. Like, that's the problem. I'm like, well.
I'm intrigued. I mean, I want to know what happens, you know, especially to the young girl character.
Mm-hmm.
Who so far is innocent and just in the wrong place.
Yeah, she just made a human error.
I'm intrigued to see where her story goes. And it would be very interesting to me if it was some sort of weird kidnapping plot or something.
Yeah. We'll see. I just
I mean, some.
I'm going to watch it, you know. But,
well, yeah. And there has to be something to do with, I don't know.
Well, somebody took him. He didn't just wander, or he fell in a hole or something. Like,
Hit by a car.
Well, yeah, but like then you would find his body. Like someone, something, like he, you don't just like. You're in a crowd of people and it like, you know, well, they stayed there to clear it out and the boy was not found.
Found the body. We're just going to find out later. And then they're like,
oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like maybe he's missing for like a week or something and then we find the body or something like that.
Oh, well, sure. But I mean,
he fell into the water and then we find the body or something. Right.
That's what I'm saying. He fell in a hole or fell off the coast, whatever. But like, I just mean that like they didn't find him that night, I don't think. And so it's
no,
like,
probably not. But
he either fell into something and is not.
No, I mean they show that they he. Or, well, maybe they.
I think that kid. The streets emptied out, and so like they didn't. The body was not there that night. So like, unless it's in one of those things, and we just didn't get it.
So small. Like either you're not finding that body.
I mean, we've been there.
That's why I think someone took them. Like that's what I'm saying. Like it's like. For him to just disappear in that crowd, I'm saying you find the body right then that night when they're searching all night. So like either they found it and they just haven't shown us that yet that night, or I'm like he was removed from this or fell into some mysterious manhole.
That's pretty interesting. Like I never you know? Even considered kidnapping as a possibility. So my guess was what we are going to see play out is the trauma of like the year after. You know, it's like a year has passed, give or take. Yeah. And the complication of the girl having the affair with Sarayu Blue's husband and the fact that they're neighbors and, you know, like they're going to have to see the, you know, Nicole's somehow going to catch them. And then that's going to unravel the life of, you know, her friend and all this. Yeah, that's what I thought it was cool. Or I think it's going to.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that too. Yeah. But I think I feel like it's like I won't be shocked if there is an element of like this. The kid, for at least a period of time, they don't know what happened to him. Mm-hmm. And at some point, in an effort to move on, because they keep talking about when they went back, oh, the husband wanted to stay there an extra year and all for his job and all these things. At some point, there's going to be a suggestion to leave. And she and Nicole or so is going to be like, we're not leaving and abandoning hope on our son. Like when everyone's assuming he's dead. But I don't think that they will have found a body.
Because that's the impression that I got from, remember the mom, when the mom was begging them to come home at the party, the 50th party, and she was like, no. But then we see in the memory that she was mad that they had to stay an extra year and she wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. So my interpretation of all of that was that we actually don't know what happened to her son.
Yeah, or it happened there and she was
the one who's talking about it a lot. And for me, that's what I thought she freaked out about Jesus, is because she doesn't want Gus to be dead. And she's still convinced herself in this weird place in her mind that he might not be, even though he probably
sure is. Sure he is, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what, and like, and so she's mad because someone in her son's life is telling him that Gus is dead, which is probably the smart thing to do. But as a parent, you can't ever give it up. So anyway, I dug deep into that, but that's what I interpreted it as.
So I thought, I mean, again, I all valid interpretations. The way I was seeing it was that she, you know, this is similar to her bumping on Essie's presence, right? Where she's like, who brought Jesus into this kid's life? Like, I didn't do it. I didn't condone this. Like, who is giving this kid ideas about how the afterlife works or all this stuff? Like,
Yeah, no, it could be as simple as that, too.
Dead is dead or something horrible like that, you know?
No, it really could be.
I mean, I could definitely be complicating things, like 100%.
Yeah, and if Nicole, if there's a world here where, like, what I'm thinking that, like, oh, I feel like there's a chance, like, we haven't located, we don't know what happened to him, so what if he's alive somewhere and they haven't found the body, so they don't know that? There could be a world, I mean, God, it could go crazy. It could go like Servant, where it's like our main character literally doesn't remember or doesn't, like, literally has PTSD the fact that their child died and thinks that
no,
the child
I think died. That, you know, like,
yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, so this is my, like, super wild theory that is, you know, probably going to get dashed in the next episode, but who knows, is that Nicole knew, or like, this girl was having an affair with her friend's husband, and she knew that, and that's why she wanted to get to know her. And so she feels guilty about the death, because she was doing this to somewhat spy on this girl.
But the guy met the girl that night, or you just think they're pretending they didn't know each other?
Yes, like, I'm pretending they didn't know each other. Because why would he come up to her and, like, offer his coat, this random chick? I mean, he might just be a nice guy, right? But I'm just going off of Nicole being like, with all the lies he's told, you can't recover from that or whatever, you know? Which doesn't mean much, except for, you know, we know he's an alcoholic, I guess. So maybe it's just lies about being an alcoholic. So it could be very simple. Or it could be some kind of hinted melodrama. And
okay, this is going to be my guess for it, is that as a byproduct of her losing the kid that night, it starts the chain of events that, you know, this guy was already looking to cheat, and then he meets a vulnerable young lady, and then eventually, you know, we fast forward to the party, and, like, Nicole has this breakdown because, one, she's seen the person responsible for kids thing, and then starts to, like, unravel her life, which in turn undoes her friend's life because she finds out about the affair and, like, exposes all that on her friend's behalf. That's where I'm going. I'm gonna remove further child crime from my guess, but it's quite possible.
Well, remember, they weren't speaking, like, Nicole and the neighbors, like, weren't really speaking much at the beginning of the first episode, right? Which is, she, like, invites her to the party. They weren't even going to go.
Yeah.
So, like, and then she had, the neighbor had said something, husband, about, like, yeah, like, what she did to you, or what, something that she, like, said or whatever, like, wasn't okay. So, like, there's going to be something we'll see. I think that that's when Nicole maybe Nicole eventually finds out or something, or I don't know.
And before the party, like,
yeah, and, like, confronts him, okay, but doesn't say it to the friend. Who knows? But
yeah,
there's obviously stuff, and obviously the guy is a grade A creep. So it's also like, if he did, you know, if it's like, okay, he met her that night, you know, he's probably also like, ooh, young, hot, traumatized girl.
Yeah.
You know, who I can totally take advantage of and come in as the nice guy who's going to come comfort her. You know, he's a yuck.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I found it, like I said, like, the first episode I liked well enough, but I wasn't, like, completely in love with it. But then, yeah, the second one really deep, like, the characterizations of everyone got to a point where I was very like, okay, I'm into this. Well, I'm invested enough to watch
to find out if this kid is. Yeah, I was going to say, now I'm more invested.
Yeah, like again, this episode, I was like, this is so cut and dry.
I guess I didn't realize I was theorizing as much as I was either until we started talking about it. But I think
that's the sign of like a good series, you know, is that like it wasn't.
I appreciate how subtle it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very much showing and not telling us, you know?
Yes, we're gonna have to find out. But speaking of another show that there are many theories about is our dear friends, the Fleshsicles of True Detective. Night Country. So literally like 30 minutes before we started recording, I finished season one of original True Detective. Yes.
And
I heeded your advice and I did not start with season two. I don't know why I chose to do that. Messed up. And now make season four, not in a bad way necessarily, but I'm like, oh, this is less outlandish than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Having seen the context of this universe that these, you know, the showrunners.
That's what I was trying to say last week. I was like, it's not that it's like normally super supernatural or anything. It's just
there
that it's
is an element of like psychosis to all of this. Apparently, well,
it's not exactly just like a cut and dry. Like, oh, this is definitely just something that happens in real time, you know, real day. Yeah. But it's like this one's kind of going more supernatural than I think any of them have so far.
Yes, this last episode was anyway, or at least it felt that way to me. But I
mean, we saw a ghost before this one.
We saw a ghost in this one, too.
But I mean, we already saw a ghost. Like, we already saw all this, know, so it's been doing the thing, but yeah.
Yeah, but the guy, like, speaking tongues and, like, that was weird.
Oh, yeah, no, it was supernatural.
They do that in the first season, too, though. Like, there's a lady who, like, I'm like.
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't make me sad, but I'm like, oh, having, you know, just been fresh off, I'm like, oh, some of this is a little more recycled than I was expecting.
Yeah.
I wonder if I should have waited to finish season four and then gone back.
Yeah, because that's the thing.
Or have waited the years between. Yeah.
Because it's been some years since I watched season one. It wasn't like all that long ago because I rewatched it a couple of times, but like some years since I did. But I wonder with it being so fresh, how the, like, because, you know, how are you feeling about like the things that seem to be connections so far? Are you like feeling?
They are fine. Well, because like I don't know how heavily they're gonna lean on the wider connection there, because obviously there's this like cultish element and the you know, perpetration of terrible things and maybe like worship of something. I'm not sure.
I think
but
it's
like,
in worship of what we're trying to discover here. I think.
Oh, you think like the source is here?
Well, yeah, because that spiral, and then this is clearly like. I mean, you see the spiral, like we saw like that in that video at the end with Annie.
Yeah,
like it was like a spiral, like fossil thing in the like. So it's like that she seems to have found whatever she was looking for. Mm-hmm. She was dreaming about the spiral until she got the tattoo. The spiral's from the first season. It's like, okay, they're clearly doing something in worship of something, I think, or in, you know, and it seems to be like that. I don't know if it's a deity, I don't know what it is.
What sort of confuses me is the timelines, because like clearly Night Country is taking place in modern time, like very modern. We've got iPhones, we've got Tinder, and then, you know, the main crime of, you know, season one was in like the 90s. So and then Matthew McConaughey is always talking about how his dad went in Alaska and stuff like that, and so I'm like,
but we don't know when he died, right? We just know he's dead. Did Fiona Shaw say how long he'd been dead? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Because that's his dad.
Oh.
Nice. I assume so, because they have the same last name, Cole. So that's why I was like,
oh.
He said his dad was going like, remember, I forget what the line was, but.
I didn't put that together.
Okay.
At least that's my assumption. I don't know if that's been a confirmed thing. That's just his, the last name is Cole. Yeah, because she said his full name. And then I was like, isn't that. Because isn't it Rusty? Rust Cole? Is Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
So Fiona Shaw would be his mother. Which, you know,
Fiona Shaw's characters. I like don't know any of their names.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not confirmed.
Okay, but it's like Cole is the last name.
So I'll retract that. It's possible that the father.
But maybe not Fiona.
Which would help parallel Jodie Foster being the stepmother as well.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm liking about this, and they often do get complex, I feel, but I like all the seasons, but I'm liking that it's like, okay, sometimes I have to reorient myself, like when we're in a scene, I'm like, okay, wait, hold on, because there's so many mysteries, and like they keep on bringing in new, like now it's like, okay, we've got fleshicle guys, right? And that's clearly linked.
Honestly,
to...
Honestly, you need to like trademark that and make a shirt of it, because
and that's like linked to what these. I'm assuming that what the caribou did at the beginning and all that, whatever, right?
Yeah,
we've got the Annie girl, who's like, that was like, there was like 6 year span in between, right? Finding mm-hmm. more stuff after she had been missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or killed. And then it's like, okay, now we've teased that. Oh God, what is her name? The actress, but what's the detective's name?
Navarro.
Navarro, that yeah. her mom's death was a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
I'm guessing
she thinks that the way Annie was found or something to do with Annie makes her feel like solving that would like give her some sort of reprieve, I guess, from not knowing what happened to her mom or something. I have no idea, but we have that. And then there's all the mystery around Danvers' son, right? It's like, we now saw him as a ghost in this. And it's mm-hmm. like, I assume that's him anyway. He had the polar bear, right? So like in the
well, and I think the sister's mental illness too, somehow.
Well, yeah, I think it's like, I think it's more, they're just connected to the spirit realm.
Honestly. Yeah. I was just going to say, is it an illness or is it like,
clearly, I think Navarro's getting yeah. vision.
Is it feels linked somehow is all I'm
right.
saying. Is it like, well, yeah, it's definitely part of whatever happens.
Well, yeah, but I think it's like the mom had that. And I think we're seeing Navarro has it as well. And Navarro's just not telling anybody she has it. Cause like she's been right. seeing visions this whole time. And so that's mm-hmm. what I mean. It's like, it's the spirit realm, the oranges, like,
yeah,
that is, I mean, that's a cinema thing because of The Godfather, right? But it's like oranges foreshadow death because
what?
Of that. And so like,
what?
Oh, yeah.
I've ever never heard Godfather. This, but.
Oh, always. Yeah. It's and it's like in this, it was like at the beginning of the episode, like she, after the flashback, she like picks up an orange. But then when she's following the kid or whatever, and she rolls an orange and the orange rolls back, it's like, I think it's just showing us that she's like close to the spirit realm.
Hmm.
I think it's just a nod. I don't think it like matters that much. It's just a thing where like they do it in things, oranges.
Right.
Since The Godfather. I don't know. Maybe that's just where I think it originated, but it is a thing in The Godfather. But anyway, there's all this stuff that I'm like, okay, that's cool. But then it's like, now you know there's gonna be more information about Danvers' son and all this. So it's like there now are three unaccounted person deaths and mm-hmm. then fleshicle, which includes how many guys, we don't even know. But like it's like there's a lot of, but it's a mystery, all of these things. And they keep saying she's back. And then I started thinking the company was like on a search for some sort of thing that can regenerate. Like,
yeah.
And so like,
yeah.
Well, that's why I was thinking Frankenstein. Because
yeah,
I was
so then,
like, oh, is she
I'm
was
wondering
awake?
If somehow her corpse has been reanimated and she's like exacting revenge on people. But I don't think that but if she's reanimated with that thing, that's a separate murder from what's happening to with this thing they discovered that is mm-hmm. killing things. So it's like there's a multi-layered answer. So I'm very complex. I don't know. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I thought this episode at the end was creepy.
I was like, I don't fully understand it, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
Like I will fully acknowledge I am not half of what you said is new to me.
So it's like when I'm watching, sometimes I have to like pause my thought real quick and be like, wait, where are we right now? Like, what part are we investigating right now?
Yeah.
Why are we talking mm-hmm. to this person? What information do they have about whom? Because I'm like, there's so many things.
I did not get a lot of that, but I got, you know, I appreciate the explanation. What I did.
Well, that's really, my interpretation of it all.
No. I mean, it's helpful because also, like, I haven't seen the other seasons. But what I did think was, like, a really, you know, powerful and kind of heartbreaking storyline is like Navarro just not feeling accepted by the community, like not knowing her, you know, indigenous name effectively, and like us seeing her as such an outsider. I feel like sometimes they're a little heavy-handed with it when it comes to actually like the white people. Mm. You know, it's not that much more subtle, but it's a little more subtle when she's with the other folks who are from there. But like, I was like, oh, this hurts. This hurts so bad. Like this mm-hmm. poor woman is just, you know, mm-hmm. suffering through this.
Yeah, maybe it's less subtle around the white people because it's more glaring around white people.
Yeah.
Too, you know what I mean? Right. So it's like maybe it's almost intentional the way they did that because it's like she feels like she fits in a little bit more around the people of the community.
She can but they like more openly reject her, right?
No,
like,
yeah,
they're
but
the
she
ones
still
who are
feels
to
more like
accept
that's
her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is why I think it hurts her more to not be accepted by.
Yeah, she continues to do a really good job, and I'm liking her, and I'm I am a little bit over the And I was glad she was over it too, and she said it. But I was like overhearing Jodie Foster say, "Ask the question." I'm like, please stop saying that. Like,
yeah,
like, I liked it okay.
Like, I'd rather not.
When it was a thing, but then I liked when she called her out. And she's like, "Don't give me that ask the question bullshit." Whatever. Yeah. And I was like, "Yes, please love that." Yeah. That.
So the other thing that I feel like they're being a little heavy handed with is the Jodie Foster like making her stepdaughter take off the tattoo.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But the way I could see them salvaging it is if she knows like. She's subject to, you know, the spirits that are haunting and whatever it is. And she doesn't want her to get sucked into whatever this like cult, whatever, you know, not having to do with the actual practice of the tattoo, but having to do with like this girl as an individual and wanting to protect her versus just being a racist.
I think it's definitely a protection thing because I think it has more do with them. When you have that, you're against the big company that's in town, right? Mm. Or at least it feels like a protest towards that. And so I think that at least that's the first layer. I think there might be a deeper layer to it too, right? You know, having to do with the spirit or the Frankenstein thing or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, and who knows? We're going to – obviously we'll get story at some point about what happened to her son. And so we don't know what's linked to what at this point.
But the stillbirth and everything, so they're obviously doing something shady. You know, at the plant.
Oh, yeah. There's no world in which that mining company is good or above board.
They're trying to reanimate corpses for sure, which,
well, 100%.
That part of it is very...
that's obvious to me.
The X-Files movie. It was the second X-Files movie. The truth is out there. Oh, yeah. I was like, it's giving that very hardcore. And I was like, all right, guys, you know. So I'm less interested in that part of it, but I'm more kind of... I'm very interested to see
how they tie it all together. Yes.
I think the bigger part, I'm interested enough in it, but I'm like, okay, that feels done before. The rest of it feels not as familiar. So I'm like, okay, I'm sure it'll all fit together nicely in a way that I like, but I just, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Same. I had to like watch something cleansing after.
Yeah.
Because I was like, ooh, do I watch it tonight? Do I wait till the morning? Like, I'm not sure. And then I was like, no, I want to know what happened. And then I went, no, I made a mistake.
Yeah, especially because this one ended with it was pretty chilling. That guy was creepy. So
yeah, I was like, ooh. Yeah, and then I went back to season one to finish. I was like, well, this is just, like, well, this, I did this to myself, but I have regrets.
Yeah. Excited to see. Yeah. It's probably 12 episodes like they usually are, right? So.
No, season one is 8.
Oh, it's only 8, huh?
Yeah. And it looks like this is only going to be, man, 6.
6? So we're already halfway through?
6.
Oh my God. I thought we were going to be like a fourth of the way.
Not enough.
You know what though? If you can do it in 6, do it in 6. That's my thing.
No, totally. It totally could be enough. I've liked all the seasons and I feel like they fit well. And I thought they were longer for some reason, but I'm like, okay, I wouldn't cut a ton out. So I'm used to the storytelling lasting that long, but I'm like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. Yeah, we only have 3 more weeks.
I know. How many is...
Two, three. Two is 8. Okay. Wow, so I'm crazy. I just thought they were all... I think they're all 8. Huh?
3 is 8. So, that's sad that the women one gets 4.
Yeah.
Not 4, 6.
Of course.
Half the pay, half the... Yeah,
not quite 75% or something.
Fucking naturally.
Fucking course. Yeah. Well, in addition to... All this bright and cheery things we've been watching. We're watching what? What else have we been?
I've started consuming. Monsieur Spade.
What? Which is
kind of fun. It's Clive Owen. He's playing what's his face? Sam Spade, the detective in Maltese Falcon. And it's like a continuation of that story, but he's like retired in France and then he's like in his 60s and some nuns get murdered and he's like on the case.
Well, in a very similar vein, I forgot to mention this last week. I have been watching Death and Other Details, which is oh my God, why is his name Mandy Patinkin as a detective on a boat who's basically, he's like a Poirot-esque, you know, this type of thing.
But are you into it?
It's fine.
It's You're really selling it.
I know.
It's a glowing review. Like, I'm so excited.
Right. So the thing about it is he's like, oh, I always work with like a partner and stuff like that. And his partner in this is like a younger woman. And I don't think the actress is – one, it's Mandy Patinkin. So it's hard to be as strong an actor as Mandy Patinkin. I'm not a huge fan of hers so far. So it is a little more challenging than like a, you know, a direct – like, this is the detective only. I like the idea of including other people in it, but, you know, it's also, like, the mega crime, et cetera, is a little more convoluted. I'm like, we got to figure out how to – we'll see how this pans out. But I'm still watching. It's, like, it's a fine background watch because there's also a lot of exposition in it being like, well, this is clearly – which is not my favorite type of detective story.
Huh. I might check it out, though.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's on Hulu. It's you know.
Yeah, easy.
We're in desperate times. January is desperate times. Desperate times. We all know this.
What can you do?
I like a murder mystery.
Yeah.
You know.
And then I also I tried Masters of the Air anyway, and that year we're right. It was like, what a slog.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I could see a world where I could, but I was like, why? I don't know. Like, yeah. Yes.
But
I didn't really care.
Like, more power to anybody who enjoys it. I'm sure it's well done.
Yeah. There are people for it. You know, I don't think it's like, oh, this is such a badly made thing. It just, it didn't pull me in a way that I needed to know anything else.
Well, I thought my dad would like it, and he didn't really care.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's not like.
I would have thought my dad would have liked it too, but I guess I didn't ask.
Yeah. Because I, No, they weren't super into it.
Yeah.
Did anyone try and watch Griselda?
I thought about it, and then I talked myself out of it when I looked at the poster, and I was like, you know what? I don't see a need for this.
No, I made it 26 minutes into the first episode.
It's longer than I would have expected.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing, but it's just like, what? She looks like Catherine Zeta-Jones. Like, the prosthetics just make her look like Catherine Zeta-Jones. And I just keep being like, what is that? Is that just, no? But yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm not the biggest on the drug trade story, blah, 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 build a cocaine empire type thing. So... Yeah.
I mean, you know, more power to her, whatever. Just not really my jam.
I also watched The Underdogs, which you both got out of, which is basically Bad News Bears with Snoop Dogg. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was probably
Snoop Dogg. I'm not.
I love Snoop.
Okay. I enjoy that him and Martha Stewart like each other.
Yes.
And Snoop Dogg has been married for like 30 years or something crazy.
See, Snoop, he also has like, I know that he has a youth football league that he started. So I know he clearly loves this topic. And there are like a couple moments where it clearly shines through where you're like, oh, this man, like, obviously, you know, these are like, they're having fun. They had fun on this set. Is he a good actor? Absolutely not. Did I watch the movie in the background and it was perfectly fine? Yes.
Every time I mean, I love Snoop Dogg, but I used to just love his music, but every time I hear his name these days, I just think of Devil Wears Prada. First of all, we need to move Snoop Dogg to my table. Like, well, obviously.
Well, I know. Yeah. I was sad. It's... Mild spoiler, no Martha cameo. Just a joke about her. And I was like,
that's not cool.
That's not cool at all.
I know. You'd think.
Like, she would have asked.
I know.
There's some, I don't remember, it's some food show on Netflix that David Chang is in, and he goes around with celebrities in their hometowns, and Seth Rogen is one of them, and he tells a story about how he got props for how he rolls his marijuana joint from Snoop, and I thought that was hilarious.
David Chang actually also has a new show out.
I usually like
Chrissy Teigen. I just watched an episode of it. Chrissy and Dave Dine Out, and Joel Kim Booster, who I love. It's on Freeform.
I like all of David. I guess I'll have to try it because I've liked all of his shows before. I don't know about Chrissy though.
I mean, she's fine. It's so they go to dinner, and then they bring Joel Kim Booster is like a good kind of social lubricant because David Chang goes into like the back and talks to the chef, and then they bring like a celebrity guest. To the dinner part. So like Jimmy Kimmel was the guest and his wife were the guests at the, so like it pings around a lot, but you know, perfectly fine background watch, etc.
Yeah. I like those things.
Yeah. I didn't finish it, but I watched one episode. And I was like, I. It's, the first one takes place at a pizza place at The Row, which is where I guess his off, like David Chang's office is. I've been to The Row once and I was like, oh God, does this mean I have to go back? It's just in the middle of nowhere. Like, do I want my like dining suggestions from this or is this just going to be?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but an odd week for sure.
It is odd.
Yeah.
Like you said, January's. January's weird. Struggle. It's a struggle.
January is January. It's a lot.
But January is January. And with that, thank you both. Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt. And that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.